In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. If Jesus were to come walking through our doors this morning, would we recognize him? Well, if the experience with the disciples in this morning's gospel is any indication, the answer might well be no. Here are 11, well, actually 10 guys who have just spent the last 3 years working with, following Jesus. They don't recognize him. What do they think it is? The pizza delivery guy? Okay, who has the falafel? Who has the shawarma? And he just walks through the wall. The doors are locked. So it's a little odd, right? Sort of like the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus and who didn't recognize Jesus until the breaking of the bread. So what's going on in this gospel? And it's a little confusing because of the time changes. It's kind of a three-part story. And part one is actually a week ago, right? It's the evening of Easter day, 1 week ago tonight. The disciples are scared to death. They think that since the authorities got Jesus, the authorities might be after them next. So they're huddled together in this room with the doors locked, and they are afraid. And apparently, they didn't fully believe Mary Magdalene, because remember, just that morning, Mary Magdalene had seen the Lord and comes back and tells them the good news. So this person comes into the room, the locked room, gives them his peace, and then Jesus shows them the wounds in his hands, the wound on his side, and suddenly their eyes are opened and they see. Yes, it's Jesus. Thanks be to God. You're back. You're not dead and in the tomb after all. Mary Magdalene was right. And then a couple of incredibly dramatic things happen. Right? First, Jesus commissions them. Jesus says to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them, says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You know, of course, right, that there are two versions of the gift of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. There's the more popular, well-known version from Luke in the Acts of the Apostles. It's the dramatic version. It's what we'll celebrate in, I think, 43 days from now, the day of Pentecost. That's the dramatic version of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the mighty wind. It's the tongues of fire leaping on the disciples. It's violent, dramatic. And then we have John's version. It's soft. It's gentle. It is literally the breath of God filling the air, filling our lungs with God's breath. Which version do you prefer? I kind of like John's gentle version, frankly, but you know, there are times when God needs to grab us by the lapels and give us a good mighty shake and say, "Wake up, buddy." So sometimes we need that violent version, and sometimes we just need a soft, gentle nudge, the breath of God caressing our cheek and urging us on. But, of course, there's often a but in the gospel. We move to part two. Well, part two is Thomas wasn't there, right? I don't know, Sunday night football, bowling night, who knows? He wasn't there. And at some point, and it's not told, we don't know when, but the disciples finally meet up with Thomas and they say, hey, we've seen the risen Lord. Well, Thomas says, as you know, unless I see the wounds and put my hand in Jesus' side, I won't believe. And part three, which is now the evening of today, 1 week after part one of the story. The disciples are once again in the room, but there are two big differences. This time the doors are shut, doesn't say they're locked, and it says nothing about them being afraid of the authorities, right? So apparently, Jesus' peace and commissioning and gift of the Holy Spirit has made a big difference. Well, this time, of course, Thomas is there. And Jesus, knowing what Thomas has said he needs in order to have his faith, gives him exactly what he needs. He says, look, see my hands, my side, touch, put your hand in my side. Thomas doesn't need to do that. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. It's the most dramatic confession of faith in all of John's gospel. And then we have a bad translation which has given poor Thomas a bad rap for generations. Our version in the NRSV says, Jesus has Jesus saying to Thomas, do not doubt, but believe. Well, that's not what Jesus said. According to the original Greek, it was really something more like, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Now, it's interesting to note that in no way does Jesus shame Thomas, lay a guilt trip on him for having this unbelief. I mean, it was the same thing that the disciples had. They didn't believe until they saw the wounds, right? So Thomas is really no different than the other disciples. Thomas is probably no different than all of us who from time to time have our bouts of unbelief. And Jesus gives Thomas exactly what he needs. Just as I pray that when we have our times of disbelief, that God gives us what we need. And then to kind of close out the story, Jesus looks beyond the walls, looks beyond the ages, and says, write to us, blessed are you who have not seen yet believed, which is all of us. All right. So, you think we would recognize Jesus if he were to walk in the door this morning? I want to ask you to do something for me before we answer that question. Just take a look at your hands. Both sides. Think about what you've created with those hands. Workshop, kitchen, office, studio, garden. And think about all of the love and care that you've provided with these hands, maybe to your children, your parents, your siblings, friends, maybe even strangers. Think about the love. Think about a time that you've held someone's hand. Maybe somebody who was rejoicing. Maybe somebody who was really hurting. Maybe someone who was dying. And if you are of a certain age, shall we say, like me and some of you, look at the wrinkles. Look at the marks, the scars, the wounds. Now, if you're sitting next to someone, I invite you to look at their hands. What are we looking at? We're looking at the hands of Christ. You see, each of us have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every time we breathe in, we breathe the breath of God. It is infused in our bodies. And we have been commissioned. We've been commissioned for ministry. We've been commissioned to do the work of Jesus Christ in the world. So yes, Jesus is right here. Christ is with us. Christ is alive. Amen.